I'm Haley.
I'm Hope.
I'm Hannah.
We're from Georgia,
and we like KUCI
in Irvine.
The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to KUCI.org.
Hello, hello. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. This show is Pills, Easy to Swallow Stories in Medicine, and this is DJ Broca, your host, welcoming you to another episode. So today I'm really excited because we have two guests. This is a new for us. And we have founders of an organization. So we have the founder and steering committee member of the Orange County Needle Exchange, which just started up this past month. And we're going to hear all about what this needle exchange is about and their goals. So could you guys introduce yourselves?
Hi, my name's Kyle Barber. I am one of the founding members of the Orange County Needle Exchange Program.
My name is Marissa Lovio, and I am a first-year medical student and part of the steering committee for Orange County Needle Exchange Program.
Great. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
We're so excited.
Have you guys been here before?
Never. First time in the studio.
Excited to be surrounded by music?
Absolutely.
First radio appearance. Ready.
Awesome. Awesome. Glad to hear. And this has been an exciting month in other reasons too, right?
Certainly true.
Very nice.
Really exciting times.
So tell us a little bit about the OCNEP. How did it come to be, and what was the first ideas?
So the Orange County Needle Exchange Program is a fairly standard needle exchange, and the idea to have a needle exchange in Orange County came largely out of the work of one of our colleagues who had been working with homeless individuals in the Santa Ana area around issues of sort of public health. And one of the needs that had been identified by people who already work in the homeless community and the homeless community themselves was that there was a very high amount of transmission of infectious disease. And there's also a very high amount of drug use, and needle exchanges are very effective at reducing infectious disease. And so we were sort of surprised to find that there wasn't a program already existing in Orange County. I myself am from San Francisco, and a lot of our the people who formed the initial founding members of the organization had worked at or near needle exchanges before, and so we thought that would be a great intervention to try and address some of those problems.
And how common are needle exchanges, say, in California?
So in California, there are dozens already in existence. Okay. Needle exchanges have been in existence around the world for about 30 or 40 years. There's multiple programs that exist in San Francisco, multiple that exist in LA, in other cities in California. But the issue is that they are largely contained to regions that aren't conservative and that are sort of near large population centers and that that are sort of more coastal. And so Orange County, being sort of a suburban county that's a little bit more conservative than places like Los Angeles and San Francisco, hasn't had one, and that's true for over 60% of the other counties in California.
I see. So it's not necessarily the case for most counties, although it sounds like many of the urban and more populated ones did have one.
That's certainly true. And an issue is that, nationally, there's, between 200 and 300 programs. If you thought of that as being a clinic, that would be on average one clinic serving an area that's the size of Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York combined. So there's definitely a shortage nationally, and Orange County, lacked this service and sort of was one of the places affected by that shortage.
I see.
It's important to note that our neighbors to the north and south, LA County and San Diego County, both have needle exchange programs. So the size of Orange County is definitely showing the need for needle exchange finally coming to OC.
Awesome. Okay, so I think before we get any further, we should talk about kind of what a needle exchange is and what goes on in it, just for any listeners who are kind of confused or aren't sure about the logistics of it.
So our Orange County Needle Exchange works on the principles of harm reduction, and harm reduction is the principle that people are going to do illicit activities, including drug use. So it's important to reduce the amount of harm that these individuals are undertaking with their activities. It's the same principle as giving out condoms for safe sex. Abstinence has shown not to work, so it's really important that we meet people where they are. And so we're really excited to provide this service to the community in Orange County.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of things are people at risk of contracting if they don't have access to clean needles?
So if you don't have access to clean needles, people are going to be reusing their needles as well as cotton and other items that can be infected with HIV and hepatitis. So it's really important to have these resources available to these people so that they don't have to keep reusing the same materials and that they can reduce the spread of these diseases.
I see. So these are, they're terminal illnesses, right?
Definitely. And it's so important that finally it's coming to Orange County.
Mm-hmm. There's other, so certainly like the most important issues are preventing HIV and hepatitis C, as Marissa mentioned. Those sorts of diseases are lifetime illnesses, and there aren't, for hepatitis C, there's Sovaldi, which is an extremely expensive treatment that you can that you can have, but HIV doesn't have any cure at all. Mm-hmm. Accessing treatment for HIV, for hepatitis C is very complicated, but there's also sort of lower risk or, sorry, lower consequence illnesses that are still very severe. So if you reuse a needle repeatedly, even if you're only reusing it on yourself, you're raising your risk of developing an abscess, which is where the bacteria that grows on everybody's skin penetrates more deeply and creates a swelling of pus and so on that can be excruciatingly painful and it can also cause more significant skin diseases. People are at risk of developing infections on their heart valves. They're at risk of developing skin infections like MRSA that are resistant to treatment, which can then spread to their lungs and be fatal. There are a wide variety of risks. Some of the other ones that were identified in Orange County specifically were botulism, which is a bacterial illness that can cause paralysis, and necrotizing fasciitis, which is sort of popularly referred to as flesh-eating bacteria, which can be a limb-threatening or a life-threatening illness. So there's sort of a very large range of possible consequences, all of which can be eliminated or greatly reduced by using clean injection supplies.
Right. I see. And so was it the case that Orange County had higher rates of any of these things before the needle exchange, still now because it's so new,
so
compared to other counties?
So it's an excellent question and one that is hard to get good data on because there isn't good data collection on the amount of injection drug use at all. So if you don't even know how much injection drug use is happening, it's hard to know what diseases follow from that injection drug use. However, there are statistics that are collected for some of these diseases, and we do know that when we were initially working on establishing the program, that Orange County had the fourth highest rate of HIV of any county in California. And we also know that the amount of HIV that was being transmitted as a consequence of injection drug use was substantially higher in Orange County than in other counties. So the number one risk factor for contracting HIV is nationally is men who have sex with men. But the second most common is injection drug use, and sex and injection drug use tend to go together. And so those issues can kind of amplify. And in Santa Ana specifically, the rate of HIV that was transferred because of injection drug use was estimated to be 20%, as opposed to the national average, which is, between 8 and 12%, depending on what sources and what years you look at.
I see. So it definitely seems like there's many more consequences that go far beyond what I guess I would have initially thought of.
Definitely.
For this activity. What would you say to somebody who comes in and says, so the safest thing, it seems, is to just not take drugs and to kind of encourage whatever practice will discourage the use of drugs rather than in a needle exchange, I guess, the main point is to give out needles.
Right. But I think that the history and the data shows that abstinence and just saying no is not a very effective public policy measure when, dealing with drug use. People are going to inject drugs. People are going to do the things that are quote unquote illegal. I think it's really important to provide the service to them so they can do it safely to reduce the harm and the actions that they're doing and also make the communities a safer place.
What Marissa said is exactly correct, and that's the sort of the fundamental basis of needle exchange programs and sort of harm reduction programs more generally. Harm reduction being any approach that attempts to reduce the harms associated with a behavior rather than eliminate it entirely. We know that abstinence-based approaches tend to actually increase risky behavior and tend to expose people to make it harder for people to even figure out how to avoid that risky behavior because they don't have access to the resources or the knowledge to do that. We see this in sex education all the time. The data is very conclusive. If you provide abstinence-only approaches to things, then what happens is that when people inevitably engage in sex anyway, that they don't know how to use condoms, they don't have condoms, they don't have access to birth control and so on. And the logic is exactly the same for injection drug use.
I see. Can you tell us a little bit about the clients that you hope to help with the clinic?
Yeah, so I think there's a huge stereotype on the type of people that inject drugs and the people that will even make use of the needle disposal. So obviously we all have the image of the homeless people that are, you know, injecting drugs on the street. But if you actually go to a needle exchange, you see the wide variety of people that come and utilize these services. My shadowing experiences have definitely eliminated any stereotype that I have for the people that are going to be using this service. And another, from our first day, there was actually diabetes patients that came in that had hordes of insulin syringes that they needed to dispose of, and they didn't even have anywhere to dispose of them. I also spoke to several people during the LGBT conference at UCI last week, trans patients who needed a place to dispose of their needles. So I think that it's going to be a very important service, not only to the stereotype that people have, but the whole community.
Very interesting. So it does sound like it will have an impact that goes far beyond even perhaps injection drug users,
right,
which would be the main community to
definitely
help.
I don't think you even know how true that statement is, that it goes far beyond the community of injection drug users, because one very simple way of thinking that is plenty of people don't inject drugs, but they have sex with people, and those people have sex with people, and those people have sex with people who inject drugs, right? And so HIV doesn't discriminate based off of how it finds its way to you. It just finds its way somehow. And so when you improve the health of one community, you are also improving the health of the surrounding communities. And another issue, something that's really important about the whole needle exchange approach is treating people with respect and dignity rather than with shame and stigma. And when we treat people with respect and dignity and treat them with the inherent worth that they have as a fellow human being, I think that has a profound effect. And the data actually shows that the rates of people who ultimately decide to accept drug treatment services or find ways to stop injecting drugs are much higher at needle exchanges than via other venues. And there have even been sociologic studies that link that to that feeling of dignity that people get when they work with needle exchanges. The last week that we operated, we gave out, I believe, 17 referrals, and 16 of those referrals were to drug treatment services that people had requested.
I see. What kind of referrals are you guys doing?
So we're doing referrals to a lot of Orange County resources that our clients do not have access to. So whether that be help finding food, housing, domestic violence services, drug treatment, we are constantly growing our referral resources to try to help any of their clients that come in. And we're just here to be like a resource to the community and not just giving out needles. It really goes way beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And has the community kind of embraced this idea and taken it up, or have you found that there are people that are critical of this approach?
So if you look on our website, which is just our initials, ocnep.org, you'll see a very long list of supporters that includes organizations from multiple sides of the political spectrum, people who are libertarian, people who are Republican, people who are Democratic, people who are green. You will see a long list of supporters who are physicians, who are from a law enforcement background, from the LGBTQ community, from sex worker outreach organizations, from public health organizations, from hospitals, etc. So I really feel that the evidence to date has shown that needle exchanges are very, very safe, very, very efficacious ways of protecting a community's health, and that no studies have ever shown any downside from needle exchange. And the base of supporters that we've developed, I think, demonstrates that people understand that.
And in fact, I think this organization went through a public comment period, right, for before establishing this needle exchange. Is that correct?
Yes. So we applied through the California Department of Public Health last summer to be a needle exchange, and unfortunately, our application was denied back then due to funding reasons. We kind of reevaluated, changed our location, and submitted an application again in October, which did include a public comment period of 90 days. And we were happy to see that we had 100 positive comments, 0 negative comments. So I think, and just reading the comments, yeah, there's a wide variety of people that were supporting us, and it just shows that Orange County, despite being conservative, is at least ready to bring harm reduction to the community.
Very nice. And so how long have you guys been in operation?
We opened on February 20th, so very recently.
Okay.
And we operate every Saturday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. in the Santa Ana Civic Center.
I see. And can you paint a mental picture? What is it? What does it look like?
Yeah, so we'll have clients come in, and then they'll check in, either turn in any needles. They put the needles in the sharps container themselves. We don't handle any of the needles. They'll turn in their needles, and we'll give them 20 for every one. And then we'll also give them any safe injection supplies, such as like tourniquets, cookers, clean cotton, sterile water, and then talk to them, obviously, while giving them the supplies, because education is really important. So we're trying to educate our clients on how to use these harm reduction materials, and then referring them to referrals if that's what they're interested to. And if they just want to leave, then we'll tell them to have a nice day and see them when they need to.
Mm-hmm. And is it just you guys, or are some other people around there as well?
We have a very large team, and our organization is all volunteer. So if people would like to get involved with us, the way to do that would be to send us an email at staff@ocnep.org. And you can find all that information on our website. And so our team is volunteers. We're volunteers ourselves. No one gets paid. We're democratically organized. And so people who are passionate about this issue or interested in to learn more can join us. We train them on everything that they need to know in order to be successful team members. And then they shadow for a period of several weeks until they feel comfortable operating at the program. And then they're able to operate as part of our team. On site, on site we have about 5 people.
Okay.
That operate
at a time.
And that ensures that we have smooth flow through the program and enough people to provide the counseling and referral services that clients request.
Does anyone join OCNEP there, or it's OCNEP exclusively?
Yeah, that's OCNEP exclusively. It's really important to us that our clients feel that they have some privacy, and that they're able to come out. The service is anonymous, and that's really important for people in order for clients to feel comfortable coming and using the service. So if people are interested in joining us, we encourage you to email us, and we'll give you instructions that way rather than showing up at the program.
Interesting. So, I mean, this might be a difficult question to put our feet into, but do you guys have any kind of ideas or can hypothesize something about the lives of the clients who come in to see you?
That is a tough question, because I really don't want to make any assumptions
Sure.
about the clients and their lives, but I've just seen a wide variety of people, either, you know, our homeless clients that come in, or people driving in Mercedes. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, there's no stereotype. So there's just a lot of walks of life that can utilize this service.
I think that that's really correct. And what Marissa had to say about the diversity of the client pool, I think there's a lot of stigma that's associated with injection drug use, and a lot of shaming and sort of cultural expectations about what injection drug users might look like or how they might behave or so on. And I think people would be surprised to find that at the program, it tends to be a pretty jovial atmosphere. People are really excited to be there. They're happy to meet us. We're happy to meet them.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of a sense of a community of support rather than an austere social service of something. And the
people
and
aren't somber looking or
no,
anything like that.
And we accept people coming however they are. They can come, use the program, have a seat. We have some food there. They can, you know, hang out and relax for a moment before going about their day. So it tends to be a pretty friendly, open environment. I will say that various forms of marginalization are very common features in many injection drug users' lives. And that can occur through many, many forms, whether it's through their interactions with law enforcement or denial of their access to healthcare, or if they're undocumented, their denial of access to everything, or poverty is a commonality. Many people who face, you know, racism, or if they're LGBT, homophobia, and the consequences that come from that, and so on. So there are major issues that many mm-hmm. people face, but there is no stereotype that anyone comes from. And like Marissa said, we have people coming in from Newport Beach, as well as homeless people who are without even fewer resources.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the reason that it's such a jovial atmosphere is that we treat everybody with respect. We aren't putting ourselves on a pedestal, like providing this huge service for them. We are meeting people where they are, and people can see how genuine we are, that we're there to help them and with whatever they need. I just remember one of the first times that I shadowed, it was somebody's first time at the needle exchange, and he was shocked that we were being so nice to him and would provide him with the tools that he needed to, you know, keep the risk down for himself with injecting drugs. And the fact that people would even have to question that, like, another human being cares about them is really sad. So
one of our board members tells a story about back when she was an active injection drug user, and how her world had a lot of people shaming her and treating her very poorly as a consequence of her the life situation that she was in. And the only people that she knew who treated her kindly were the people at the needle exchange. And that's, I think, one of the enormous powers that needle exchange has. It has these incredible success rates in terms of reducing infectious disease, but it's also a place where sort of there is an open hand to hold for people who need it. And I think that that's a beautiful thing.
Which is probably also speaks to why many referrals are taken up and people are ready to meet, if they want to seek services for rehab or other things, that's where they go to.
I think that's exactly correct. And, you know, there's been research studies about this from programs nationally where they found that in many places, upwards of 75% of the surveyed clients received all of their social services through the needle exchange, either via referral or directly at the center. And that the success rates of those referrals can be kind of astounding. We know that there was a paper out of the East Coast in which a program published that 49%, so basically half of all of their referrals, resulted in successful treatment, which is kind of outstanding. I mean, if you, it's very hard to get those kinds of rates anywhere, just because it's very hard to find beds for people to go in and drug treatment services, let alone have the person actually successfully enter that treatment.
I'm sure you guys are really excited about the success you've had recently. Maybe it's a little early to ask this, but what's next? What's the next step moving up?
I think that the thing that we're most interested in is making sure that everybody who needs our service has access to our services, and in ensuring that we have a stable service that we're capable of providing with a very high degree of quality. And that's something that everybody who's listening can get involved in if they want to. We'd love to have you join our organization and work with us. And like I said, volunteers do everything for the program. It's a 100% volunteer-run program, including Marissa and myself. So that's everything from our political organizing, our finances, fundraising, running the program, training, everything. And so I think that's very exciting. And I've spent many years of my life working in volunteer organizations, and it can be extremely fulfilling. And so we hope people join that.
Very nice. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us, Kyle, Marissa. Can you, before we leave, can you one more time, first maybe let's give the contact information for somebody who would want to use the service. Where would they go?
So if you would like to use the services for the Orange County Needle Exchange Program, you can see all of our information on our website, which is ocnep.org. You can email us at info@ocnep.org, or you can call us at 714-794-5643. That's 714-794-5643. And any of those methods of contacting us will work.
And we're open every Saturday from 12 to 3 in the Santa Ana Civic Center. And like Kyle said, if you log on to our website, we have a more detailed map. And I just want to correct what I said earlier. You can turn in as many needles and we'll give you that many plus 20. And also you don't need to turn in any needles. We'll give you supplies for free as long as you come in. So hopefully we'll get more people stopping by.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. This has been Pills. I'm DJ Broca, signing off. The next show up is Good Grief with Uncle Sadra. Till next time.